At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Rhythm is a dancer, it's a soul's companion. People feel it everywhere. Lift your hands and voices, free your mind and join us. You can feel it in the air. Oh, it's a passion. Oh, sunshine in an empty place.
We're back at the races about 7 minutes into hour three, and certainly a passion when it comes to those involved in steeplechase racing, and the summer season is upon us. Today to start the action at Colonial, and they'll jump weekly, and we're not far off from the important and rich season up at Saratoga too. And Bill Gallo presides over National Steeplechase's operation, and it's a busy time for him. It's a busy time for our man Woodbury Payne, who is the Steeplechase steward. So Woodbury bounces back and forth between Virginia and New York all summer long. Everybody's cars are tuned up, Bill. Everybody's tires are been checked. You're ready for the Road Warrior portion of your schedule. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yep, I made it down safe and sound this morning. I drove down from Pennsylvania, and I'm sitting here on the backside of Colonial Downs, about to have a meeting with our jockeys. But all is good. Head back up to Saratoga on Wednesday.
Well, let's maybe quickly summarize the front half of the chase season. And, you know, I've been checking in most regularly with the Clancy brothers as part of their This Is Horse Racing and Saratoga special visits on Thursdays. And we'll do plenty of that all summer long, including with Tom Law. And then, you know, touch base with you a couple of different times as well during the spring. Where do we stand as the chase schedule hits Colonial and Saratoga?
We come off. We had a very successful spring season. We've, you know, coming out of that COVID situation, the crowds were back. We had some record crowds, and the Aiken Steeplechase previewed a beautiful new race course down in Aiken on first meet of the year. That led to a record crowd there, and Camden had a huge crowd of about 35,000 to 40,000 the second weekend, and it just kind of grew from there. You know, big attendance, and we depend on attendance. Obviously, it's without parimutuel racing, without parimutuel wagering at the race meets, we totally depend on the not a handle. It's the gate, basically, and your sponsorship. So the race meets are doing well. We had 17 race meets for the spring season, another 11 in the, coming up in the fall. But right now we're geared up for, really, it's a huge summer program for us. We're here at Colonial Downs every Monday for 9 consecutive Mondays, ending on Labor Day. We've got 2 jump races every Monday, and that on the Labor Day card, believe it or not, we have an interesting 2-mile flat race for horses that have started over jumps at the meet and have not won a race. Tricky little condition, but it should be a fun race. $50,000 purse. So a strong program here at Colonial, and simultaneously, obviously, we're racing with our top horses up at Saratoga. We've got the first race, 105, every Wednesday at Saratoga, and it's a star-studded group of horses, and we've got the Mean Queen in training. I'm looking to make a start, hopefully, at Saratoga, if not Saratoga in the fall at Belmont. Similarly, we've got Snap Decision. He's Snap Decision. Fisher has them set and pointing to the Jonathan Shepherd in mid-August, August 17th. So if we get lucky, maybe we have another duel between the Mean Queen and Snap Decision. If not there, for sure, they probably lock up at Belmont in the fall. And then it'll be on to our championship day at Far Hills, which is the third Saturday in October. So a lot of action. Every kind of runner here at Colonial. We've got maidens, maiden fillies. We've got maiden starters. Really good purses, 40,000 maiden specials. So we're excited about it. We've got a ton of horses. And we start out today. One thing for your listeners to know, there are non-parimutuel races here at Colonial, but they are simulcast. They're not simulcast. They are live streamed, and it's a live stream. If you go to the NSA website, you can. There's a link to the live stream. Just go to our website, and the first race every Monday is at 12:15 first jump race, and then the second race is 12:50. So if you're interested and want to take a look, or you're looking for horses that might advance to Saratoga, a lot of these maiden winners are going to jump right into the Saratoga pool of horses for the non-winners or two. So we're looking forward to it. We're all geared up, and hopefully we'll have some good racing all summer.
Well, and I'm going to put that link up so that people can bookmark it. You go to the National Steeplechase, the gloriously redesigned and relaunched nationalsteeplechase.com. Click on the racing, and you'll see it's bolded in red. Watch live stream racing, and you'll be able to watch the two races today. And there's some first-time starters that are part of these two races. That caught my eye, and also some horses that are, you know, second-timers. But Leslie Young, who had a fabulous first half of the year, Bill, Leslie Young seems really flush with a bunch of horses. I mean, not just the ones that have already established themselves. She's got most of these firsters.
Yeah, she's got quite a jump stable right now. It's numbers over 50. It's
wow.
Leslie Young and Carrie Breon both are really stacked and ready to go. They both had a good spring season. Leslie was particularly successful all spring long. Just everything she was running was running lights out. And she won a bunch of races. It's a great competition between the two gals, for sure. And then, of course, sitting in the wings is Jack Fisher, who's been our leading trainer for decades, more than a decade now, and obviously got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year. But Fisher's he's got a bunch of maidens, and hopefully he'll break a few maidens here at Colonial and advance on to Saratoga. And then he's got the big horse snap decision as well. So it's there's a big emphasis on these maiden races. We got a maiden race every week, literally. And it's the object is to win one of these nice maiden races at Colonial, jump into the Saratoga pool, and see if you can advance from there.
Anything that catches your eye about today's horses? Looking over the names, and I certainly see actually a couple of hints that there might be some runners that could very quickly take to the jump, the jump opportunities that might become, players right away. And in fact, Mrs. Steinman, deposit a 7-year-old Gio Ponti. This one has been knocking on the door. There's a horse that River D, in fact, this is a horse that we talked about with Sean Clancy, Awakened, a horse that Reeve McGahee and Shug both trained, a Phipps bred mentioned Awakened, Curlin, 5-year-old. This one had a daydreaming, no less, was able to break the maiden on the flat at Ellis last summer. This one's got potential. And how about Julie Gamina with Quid? This is an English Channel 5-year-old that really had a successful enough career on the flat, Bill. There's some horses here with lots of upside. Fisher's got one for Mrs. Johnston, too. Zarkalani, an Invincible Spirit 6-year-old that looks like there's plenty of potential.
Yeah, you make good points all around. I mean, if someone that hasn't paid attention to steeplechase, and you just look at the breeding of these horses, you have to have a much better horse right now to compete over fences. There's no question about it. You mentioned a whole bunch. I was at the barn early this morning when I first got to Colonial. I actually got my eyes on Quid. He's a first-time start over jumps. A beautiful gray horse by English Channel. And I sat with Julie for a couple of minutes. She really likes him. He's a homebred. Really likes him. And she's hoping for some success today. Leslie Young has got, one of these mystery horses, imported horse Stolen Shoes, is GB bred, and that's with Young and Breon have done so successfully. They brought these horses over, and they usually strike pretty quick. Breon's horse, Montmartre d'Ange, is actually owned by Madigat, Sal Kuman. So it's his first jumper, and I know they're absolutely hoping that this horse breaks his maiden today, so Madagat can get a runner over jumps to Saratoga. So, yeah, there's a lot of angles. I wish there was betting, quite frankly, because it would be a heck of a betting race for a good group of maiden special horses.
Bill, out of curiosity, what is holding that back?
I don't quite know. I really don't. You know, they've got a full card here, and they'd like us to go in advance. I never really have gotten the complete answer, other than that's just the way they want to do it. And I wish it was different, but I'm delighted that they host us. Believe me, I'm sitting here on the backside looking at this phenomenal turf course. It's absolutely gorgeous. A couple of our jockeys have just come off walking the course, and they say it is absolutely spectacular. So we're just happy to be here. Whatever position they put us in, we're more than welcome. We're happy to take whatever they give us, which is a very substantial card all summer long.
Well, the Saratoga opportunity in terms of wagering, we'll have plenty of conversation on that front. Anything else in these among these two that we should point out? I was looking at race 10. Numerically, it's race 10 in terms of your PPs. If you are watching today, it'll be race 1, 12:15, and then the 12:50 race. And I'm just sending out the link right now. Here you go, folks. If you don't have this bookmarked, go ahead and do that.
That second race is interesting, maiden fillies, restricted race. I do know from the Leslie Young camp they're very high on their filly, the one filly, Our Bab, once again an Irish import. They really like her, and they think she can advance from here. There's a very rich filly race here on August 22nd, $100,000 called the Randy Rouse, but it is a filly stakes race over jumps here at Colonial. And there's a bunch of fillies that are going to be pointing to that. And I know Our Bab is one of those that's hoping to break out of the maiden ranks today and jump into the stakes division. So that ought to be interesting.
Excellent. All right. That link is up for everybody, the YouTube page that streams the races. Is there any commentary on the feed, Bill?
No, it's excellent video. It's the right. Colonial Video crew. There is no commentary, but I'm fairly certain they pick up the race caller.
Excellent. So you'll be able to hear. You'll be able to hear Beamy calling the jump.
I believe so. But the visual is excellent. You'll be able to follow the race very, very closely.
Well, Bill, we're looking forward to seeing you and Woodbury and the whole team, all the riders and the ownership teams that treasure their time as well at Saratoga, and I'll be there a week from Monday as well, broadcasting. So I'll see you here and there.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Bill Gallo, everybody, and they're getting ready to have their meeting with the riders, and we're going to get ready to talk to Jessica Paquette and do some handicapping, and we'll be able to cap the races that we can bet on today. That's very frustrating. I don't know why. Why would you not give everybody the opportunity to bet these chase races on Mondays at Colonial? But Jessica Paquette is ready to help everybody bet everything else on the card. Jessica, good morning.
Happy opening day, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Our third visit down to Colonial, down to New Kent, and talked to Jill Byrne earlier, and we just got the jump side set to go with Bill Gallo, and you're back for another season.
They could not keep me away.
Well, good. Give everybody the lay of the land, first of all, on the way the schedule the TV presentation and what everybody can expect.
Well, you can expect big fields, great racing. Our turf course is legendary, but don't sleep on the dirt racing either. There are competitive races throughout the day. Pick five starts typically on a 9-race card. We'll start in race number 5, 12% takeout there, so best bet in town. But these are some tough cards this opening week. The racing office definitely gave me my work cut out for me.
Well, you and Beamy, is there, in terms of prattle and in terms of presentation on the feed, what's the schedule that way?
So I'll be in the paddock trying to pick some winners. I'll kick it up to Jason for several races, and we'll go back and forth, kind of going through what we think our opinions are for the day. It makes it kind of fun, the back and forth.
Very good. All right. So look forward to Jason and to Jessica. And Jess, remind everybody, especially... especially with the extra racing this year, the extra days, the extra 2 weeks, hopefully people sign on and get interested. Talk about the two configurations on the turf course and how you find they play and what you suggest people look for in terms of the steady diet we get of turf racing at Colonial.
Well, that's the best part, is we'll see so many races on both the inner and the outer turf. You can really, if you're paying attention, start to pick up some trends. The rails will move, so those can, our subjects change week by week. But that's one thing Jason and I will be trying to offer some insights if we see anything. Last year, there was a good stretch where speed was really holding very well. Then out of nowhere, it kind of changed entirely to favor closers. So it's an organic animal, the turf course. So we'll keep you posted as it continues to change.
Well, we should ask, actually, obviously the start of the season, but what, weather-wise, I've been on the road for 2 weeks. There was extended heat and high temperatures. Was it just as dry and hot down there?
Actually, we got a couple of days of rain.
Good.
Saturday and Sunday both kind of wet and rainy. Nothing too torrential. I'm really interested to see how both tracks play in these first couple of races.
Well, part of today's activity, just over and above what are going to be full fields and interesting racing, we've got the restricted stakes, and four of them, the second, fourth, sixth, and eighth today, and I don't know if you want to do the pick five and also touch on the stakes that aren't part of it, but wherever you want to go, Jess, I've got everything in front of me, too.
All right, let's go. Let's go right in the first stakes race. That's the Tyson Gilpin. It's $125,000 guaranteed. The Virginia breeding program is continuing to grow and develop, and there are some really nice horses in it. I think this race is actually pretty interesting. Strand of Pearls, Brittany and Sheldon Russell team up. Sheldon finally back in action after an injury sidelined him for quite a while. And I think this filly, the turf is a question mark for her, but I think her pedigree indicates she'll take to it just fine. And that speed may be just what she needs.
This is a group of seven, and they're... Looks like there's plenty of pace, actually. I'll tell you one outfit that seems ready to start the meet, and that's Susan Cooney.
Susan Cooney is ready. I've been watching these horses through the wonders of social media, trained throughout the winter, some of them leading up to this race. That is actually, I'm glad you brought her up. There is a horse, I believe that he's in, I think it's tomorrow or Wednesday. His name's Celtic State. His form is not much. He's only had 2 starts. He is, I know, a horse that she's thought really highly of. She bred him. She's kind of developed him all along. I bet this horse is an entirely different animal at 3 than he was as kind of a goofy, awkward 2-year-old. He's going to be a big price. I can't wait to see him this week.
Well, from the opener or the opening stake of the afternoon, that's the Tyson Gilpin, the turf sprint for the fillies and mares. It also starts an early pick 4. We can go to I don't know if you want to look at what'd you do in the third, actually, now that I got it in front of me.
The third race, I went with number 6. That's Pearl Earring. Coming out for Michael Sidham, Trevor McCarthy.
Yeah.
These connections are sort of a no-brainer here. This one's a half-sister to graded stakes winner Pixelate, and I think she has some real ability. I think she ran well when her race came off the turf last time out. I bet she moves up back on the grass.
I'm looking at Proctor, and it's funny. Proctor's had a quiet, what seems like a quiet period, and yet he's clicking at 26% with 47 starters, and I will not be surprised if he's ready to have a big summer. The Glen Hill, this is not a homebred. This is a $650,000 filly, Saturday Night Girl. She's going to be on, isn't she going to be loose on the front end?
That's what I wonder. If she shakes loose, I bet she gets brave out there. There are a couple of, actually, in the opening week card, a couple of really nice Tom Proctor, Glen Hill horses. One, I believe, Frankel Filly tomorrow. Very excited about.
You know, it doesn't feel like the pace gets hot, but there is a horse that is worth mentioning from Nacho Correas, and that's My Sweet Story. The 9, who's 15-1, will be picking pieces up late. And that effort at Hawthorne, of all places, actually fits very nicely here. And I'm looking forward to watching Vincent Chaminade a little bit at this meet.
Yeah, I think they're going to be very live throughout the season.
That's the third. It's a first-level allowance going a mile and a 16th on the inner. The Brookmead is the second stake, race 4, and mile and a 16th here, and we're still on the inner. This one for the fillies and mares 3 and up.
Sometimes you need to just eat your chalk and move on. I think Urban Fairy Tale, really tough, is going to be very tough here. She's one of the more accomplished horses, and she needs to rebound off of what's been pretty average recent form, but they won this race last year, and Landeros, I don't think, makes the trip here, you know, just to take in the scenes around New Kent.
I hear you. Fianbar for Susan Cooney, one of her homebreds, is okay and could be a little competitive. Let's go to the opener for the pick 5 and 12% aggressive takeout number. And these pick 5s are going to be well worth looking at on a daily basis. And this one kicks it off. It's a first level allowance, and it actually starts on the main track and the first main track race, and actually the only main track race of opening day.
And I think this is one of the toughest races on the card to figure out. This is a big, bettable, wide open race. If you are playing the pick 5, for me, this is a race where I have to go a few deep. Number 10, Manolito, is my top selection. I think he can probably capitalize on what should be a pretty solid early pace if he kind of can sit in that second flight. Coming in off a good win of Laurel, he's one of the more consistent of this field. But again, this is a really solid, wide open group.
Just kind of going up and down here, and you got a couple of horses that seem like they're progressive and developing and lightly raced. Hammer Lane catches my eye for Tom Cooper with Alyssa Morrison, and you're going to get 6-1 on Hammer Lane, going to be prominent throughout. How about the 5-year-old? Ashab.
I mean, there's some pedigree on this horse, right?
Yeah,
this is one of those horses that I think was intended to be maybe a little bit more than he turned out to be. Yeah. But that said, he could probably get in the exotics at the very least.
It's certainly working well. And Allison Escobar, I don't know a lot about, if anything. Edgar Zayas, by the way, summering at Colonial.
It's the place to be this summer.
Listen to you. 6-1 on Ashab, who feels like he will come back running. This was, you know, with that name, you know that this was a Shadwell horse originally, and has not been, with that time off, not since seen since last May in Philadelphia, and has not been gelded, which is notable.
Because I'm really curious how he behaves in the paddock with all of that information and being a son of Tabit.
Yeah.
He is one I'm going to be certainly being aware of where he is in the paddock when I'm down there.
And I'm just, because this seems like it's a story, there's a backstory here, I want to take a look at the dam. The most prominent sibling is Ectobar, the Bernardini, who, you know, was a very nice horse. It was a was a stakes nibbler for Shadwell. So
stakes nibbler, I like that term. I may borrow that.
You can proliferate it. I've been using
Thank
that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I like that a lot.
I've been using it selectively. As it happens, that dam Wasima, who's a Danzig mare, she was listed. She won a couple of listed stakes as a 3-year-old in England, and it's a nice enough family.
But the Danzig and the female family, plus Tappet as the sire, there's a lot of edge there. I'm just very curious about this horse in a lot of ways.
Well, it just so happens that dam is a full sister to Truckee, the wonderful Truckee. How funny is that? An Island of Silver. Seattle Dawn, also sibling. Very nice. This is, they're.
And you're making the point of exactly why it takes me so long to handicap some
of these
races,
the same
because
way.
I just go down this pedigree wormhole and then get amused.
Me
and,
too.
Some of it's so irrelevant, but I'm so delighted by it.
I'm the exact same way. There's some very familiar names in the Turf Sprint Punchline. This is the sixth race. Jessica Paquette is with us, and here's Boldore, who I tried to make the case last year was going to become a prominent turf sprinter, and he won the Punchline last year, and then he really kind of plateaued, Jess, never really went on from it. Asmussen has returned him to the main track for most of the campaign so far this year, and that was at Oaklawn and also a stop at Lone Star. So Boldore 9-5 with Fergal Lynch, and there's some other very solid players lining up in this edition.
So for me, I leave Boldore off my tickets entirely. Like, there's that saying, I didn't go to the wedding, I'm not going to the funeral. I didn't like him last year in this race. He beat me, that's fine. But I'm not, especially off his current form, I'm not taking this horse at 9-5. I actually, this is my strongest opinion on the card in number 5, Determined Kingdom, mm-hmm. for Phil Schoenthal. Phil thought so highly of this horse last year. I remember him in the paddock as a 2-year-old. He was kind of a gawky baby-looking horse, and I think this is one that just needed some time to fill into his body and continue to grow and develop, and I'm really excited to see how he's turned out.
Determined Kingdom is absolutely a player. Trevor McCarthy down to ride, as it happens, for Phil, and the thing that I'm looking for, though, is somebody that's going to set the pace, is it Jump Back Jack?
It could be. I think this will be an interesting race right out of the gate. I'm not exactly sure who wants the lead. I'm a little intrigued also by Elusive Mischief. His recent work tab has kind of hinted to me that even as a veteran, he might have a few more big efforts in the tank.
Yeah, he's got plenty of experience doing this. I suppose E.P. Milton, and here's that Susan Cooney again.
Could have a big week.
She's everywhere. I mean, this one I don't think is a win candidate at 20-1, but did show some speed last time, as it happens, breaking the maiden for 12-5, and taking advantage of the Virginia breeding portion of the restriction here. Trombetta shows up with Emboldened too for Larry Johnson and partner. Emboldened is a player. This is a tricky little race.
I think this is my favorite race on the card. It's a really fun group of horses, and you can go a lot of different ways, especially with what I think is a very vulnerable favorite.
That gets us to the 7th, and we're talking about the 12% pick 5 at Colonial opening day. Jessica Paquette with us. How's the bad horse?
The bad horse is great. I got a text from my trainer that he seems confused that he isn't getting Pop-Tarts and has to actually work while I'm away.
Well, that horse needs a full-time keepers. It takes a village to watch the bad horse. Let's take a look at this 16 non-3 turf sprint, and here's another. This could also be a bit of a head scratcher.
This one, this is an interesting one. I like number 3, Westward Look, going back to the turf. If he can return to that Tampa form, I have the voice of Tampa Bay Down sitting right across from me right now. I also think the cutback and distance is kind of interesting. He's been mostly competitive at a mile, but I like the cutback.
Again, the first thing I look for with any of these turf sprints is speed, and
he has that.
Yeah, he's got... Interesting. This kind of a race, because you're looking at horses that are just looking up and down. You got a bunch of horses that have come up from Florida. You've got a horse like Jane Sibelli with Scotty Brown from last seen at Laurel.
And also Hushed Hijinks for Sibelli too, who I really like in this spot as well.
Yeah. How many would you use in the pick five here? How many users?
I mean, for me, I kind of have to go three deep. It depends on where, where I've spread out elsewhere on my ticket, trying to keep this budget friendly.
Well, give us the three numbers, Justin.
The 3, 8, and the 9.
3, 8, 9. There we go. All right. Takes us to the last of the stakes, the Ned Evans. And, of course, when we talk about successful operations and legacies in the game, Ned Evans, who was departed way early, Ned Evans' broodmares will be a part of the stud book forever, and some sons, too. But nice that there's this tribute to him. It's a field of 8, and Passion Play 3-1 on the rail for Mary Epler, the big mare, and Largent Even Money shows up in here with Paco Lopez for Todd Pletcher, and Twin Creeks and Eclipse.
I think Largent gets overbet. I think he's a little vulnerable here. I think this is a chance to, toss him. For me, I'm going to leave him off my ticket entirely, or at least leave him off my horizontal ticket entirely and try to find some value here. 3-1 on Passion Play I would take all day, any day, all day. He's trying to defend his title on this race. He has dangerous cruising speed, and I think he's sharp off the layoff. It can never be stated enough how much of a master Horatio Caramanos is on this turf course.
A couple of considerations. Alex June on the outside, the 8 with Martin Garcia for Lindsey Schultz and for 10 Strike is okay. Good Luck Chuck, Bobby Bales.
I like Good Luck Chuck.
Yeah, Good Luck Chuck is okay as well. But Passion Play is the logical alternative if you're looking to beat Largent.
Good Luck Chuck is actually scratched to our faithful viewers, so that's unfortunate. He was a kind of big priced horse I really liked today.
Yeah, all right. That's too bad. Well, in that case, then the alternate for me is Alex June on the outside for 10 Strike.
All right.
The Ned Evans, and that gets us to a 10 claiming nightcap going the flat mile again on the inner.
This race, I have two strong opinions. Number 5, Silver and Lie. Michelle Lovell had a terrific meet last season.
She did.
I think his tactical speed makes him very tough. But I'm really intrigued by number 10, Westerland. I love the angle of these steeplechase horses going back to the flat. I think, to me, it's the ultimate route to a sprint cutback. It's the same sort of angle. They're coming in a little fitter, a little deeper well of conditioning. And I don't get to see too many Frankels, and that makes me excited as well. That also, I may be trying to bring this one home for the bad horse to have a friend.
That's funny. You've got... And I guess we're going to get a steady diet, Jess, of main track to turf runners here. So we got to, be prepared to make those kinds of evaluations. I mean, that's part of the challenge. The horse all the way on the outside, people are going to be familiar with as well. That's Smile Brian. And Derek Ryan shows up with this one, and certainly New York horse players have watched Smile Brian the last several years. He's got plenty of races that would be easily good enough to win this.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of which one shows up.
Yeah, it's a little hard to to make a determination, but even when he doesn't run up to full capability, he's, you know, this is a big drop down. He hasn't run for, this is his, he's never run for this low of a tag.
That's true. That's right. But I do think he's kind of coming into the paddock with a big red for sale sign on him.
Well, $32,000 purse, and you know, $10,000 via purchase is well, you know, makes it well worth it. So,
sure.
You know, that can be taken. You know, one thing that's interesting, the opportunity to see, you know, 10 claimers on turf courses. It you know, generally, you know, we don't get to see that level, certainly in the Northeast. When it comes to New York, that's below, you know, we don't run for less than 25. So there'll probably be some tough decisions to make, I think, on sequences like this for that reason.
Oh, absolutely. For me, like the 10,000 non-winners of two on the turf are some of my favorite races to handicap here.
Well, Jess, I hope it's a fabulous meet for you and everybody. We'll check in. We'll check in with you whenever we see something that you know, stakes cards. I'll see you in person a week from Monday, actually.
Oh, I'm so excited! Glad you're making the trip down.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to a Colonial Cup day. Jessica Paquette, everybody, and you follow Jess, of course, on social media, and J.M. Paquette, P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E, for those of you that didn't live in Quebec. Jess, I appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Thanks, Steve. Happy opening day.
You too. Jessica Paquette, everybody. And she does a great job, and she works hard. And she's a horsewoman of the highest order. The bad horse, which is such a great nickname, quote unquote, for any of you that have ever, you know, taken care of a thoroughbred, right? The bad horse. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes, which I did not necessarily expect. So let's see how we can fill in. How do you want to spend it? Let me, I kind of put off some of the Indiana results because I was hoping this morning, for whatever reason, the figs have not been, published. And, so I kind of was delaying extensive conversation about Indiana. Let me go. They are no, they are still not up. Unbelievable. There was a couple. There was also a race. There was a race the other day that somebody asked me about on Twitter. Let me go back and check now that it occurs to me, because I gave up after a few days. It was a July 1st race, and there was a nice maiden winner. There's been, speaking of maiden winners, there's been quite a few, and I know I did give a bit of a shout out to Michelle Lovell. That Damon's Mound is the Girvan that she unleashed there at the end of the Churchill meet, and we've got to find out from Michelle where he's going to turn up. Well, the horse in question was a two-year-old. An Astern two-year-old that won July 1st at Belmont. Oxymoor won off by 6.5, and the fig is still not published. This is going to require a call to Buyer himself to find out what the scenario is. And I've tried every which way to figure this out. I'm going to give it one more try here. And this was a 6-furlong turf sprint. No, the number is just not available. Adam Rice, and interestingly about this, this is a horse that Adam owns and came down from Presque Isle with Oxymoor. And I imagine, you know, winning off by and a half lengths. This horse may have already changed hands. Kind of curious. So we'll do some
proper inquiries.
All right, let's. Here we go. All right, I'm going to go ahead with the Indiana stuff then, because we've got enough time. I did have one other idea. Andy Serling just sent me something that made me laugh. That I could end the show with for those that. Right. There was a nice milestone yesterday, and I might be able to bring a nice champagne cork here if I get a fast answer. All right. In the meantime, in addition to McPeak winning that Mary Holman George, Hendy Woods and Flippant ended up dead heating in the General Assembly in the distaff, and Hendy Woods being chased by Flippant in the late stages, and they were inseparable at the wire. So both Cassie and Vicky Oliver, Vicky for Watts Humphrey and Cassie for Stone Street. Everybody goes home happy, right? I suppose if you bet Flippant at 5-1 or 4-1, you were only slightly happy. They split the baby, of course, with those dead heats. Ellen's Lucky Star, and I'll get to the Indiana Bred Snack Steak in a minute, but the Exaggerator Filly for Tony Granitz and Stuart Grant. This was a purchase. In fact, a lot of familiar names involved. This is a horse that Dennis Farkas bred, Mamala Kamala. And this out of a Midnight Lutemare, $37,000 purchase for Stuart Grant. And broke the maiden in its second in her second turf start. And then gets an opportunity in Ellen's Lucky Star and becomes a stake horse. Well, just like that, 5-1. Beat Louder Than Words, the 5-2 favorite, and the pretty accomplished Louder Than Words, the 3-year-old. So, Mamala Kamala and Martin Pedroza, Marcelino Pedroza, aboard. And then the start of the pick five, and I knew it was going to be a frustrating afternoon. Mr. Wireless was my fourth, basically my throw-in horse, the fourth horse, and it seemed to me that South Bend and Thomas Shelby, they were the key players, and then I also tried to make a case for Spa City off the claim by Maker. And instead, Mr. Wireless, Deshaun Parker, rode him with a lot of confidence. Just kind of sat and sat, kind of loomed up, approaching the turn, was poised off the turn and took over and won easily. Paid $780, actually, as the second choice. That was actually a little bit of an indication that that Mr. Wireless might have been live. I left him. I went three deep, left him off, and so the pick five play, no good, right off the go. I didn't go back and check Marcus's pick five. I wonder if Marcus used him. Then I outthought myself in the snack, and the 3-1 favorite of Glyshaw's and Iron Horse, the people that brought you Bechero. Jeopardy Theory. This was a horse that had stepped forward on turf, but I that wasn't good enough for me. I looked at all other types to try to figure out who was going to maybe be useful on grass and might step forward. And I looked in every nook and cranny except at the most obvious player. And Jeopardy theory ends up, you know, winning easily. I mean, it wasn't even a... It was a joke. So, you know, sometimes you are better off just accepting the obvious. And in retrospect, Ivar, I picked him second, and he was going to be an A on the tickets and all. But, you know, you thought, here's a spot where we might get a price. And certainly Marcus, the case Marcus made for Cavalry Charge, you did get 12-1. And if you followed Marcus's advice, that was not a bad idea. The Cavalry Charge, a good second, a length behind Ivar at the wire, and outphotos Some Like It Hot Brown, who kind of vied. That was a surprise to me, how much money Some Like It Hot Brown took. Went off at a tick over 3-2, and Ivar was 6-5. So I think a lot of us, right? I think everybody, you know, respected Ivar, but didn't necessarily just give in to, you know, to his dominance. But this is a good way for Paulo Lobo to start the season with Ivar. Joe Talamo aboard. Interstate Daydream, we've discussed this one left and right, and I'm sure we will get a visit in with Michael W. McCarthy and his... new stake winner. Indiana Derby goes to Actuator, and this was, you know, him and the Asmussen King Ottoman, they felt like the non-favorites that were the ones to use, and those were my two A's. And King Ottoman ran okay. He, you know, kind of clunked along for third, but Actuator. For those of you that, you know, that might be, you know, win bettors, or if you were live in the pick four, pick five at that point, you knew you were a winner. Now, I mean, it's funny. I turned away from the race without even noticing that there was going to be an objection. So later on when I looked at the chart and I saw the inquiry, I don't know. At the start, we talk about this. They rarely do anything early. Then the late portion of the action, I haven't seen the head on, so maybe I should watch the head on. But it didn't seem like there was a bunch of. Was there consternation over it? Did I miss that? Maybe. We were traveling, so at that point, I was just happy to be able to see the race. Frankly, I was having trouble with stop and go video on Saturday. I saw very few races, you know, smooth start to finish for whatever reason. I don't know why, from a video standpoint. So that was the Indiana action, and I look forward to talking to Michael W. McCarthy, and we'll get some of his summer thoughts in. And I suppose we could also mention some of the other. I told you about the Cornhusker and the Iowa Derby, the two juvenile races, the Prairie Gold, Tyler's Tribe. Tim Martin, Sharp Azteca. Sharp Azteca has been explosive here in the matter of weeks that we've had, you know, two-year-old racing. I think I saw nine winners, and here's the first stake winner. And then when it came to the girls' side of things, it was Janet Is Ready. Janet Is Ready. This coming for Casey Pommier, Carl DeVille among the ownership group, Gerald Bruno, and our Blue Streaks stable. Oh, Janet is ready. 45-20. Second longest or third longest shot on the board. It was a crazy board, actually. You had three horses. You had the 2-5 favorite, Corningstone. And that was, didn't even talk to Kenny about this, but this was the, you know, the 2-year-old girls race on Friday night. But this is a Louisiana bred. Alex Ganciari booting at home. So Janet is ready. Nice. Came in off of an Evangeline maiden breaker. What else did we miss? John Ortiz with Joyful Cadence, easy winner at a nickel in the Sailor Fell. Jilted Bride in the Iowa Distaff Friday night. Asmussen and Peter Bradley, and a host of owners, including Cameron Equine and Zane and Brady Carruth. Jilted Bride, Wicked Strong, 5-year-old mare. Stewie Elliott, second choice. And we mentioned Macron. The Highling Brats, just the number of sprinters that that their operation seems to churn out. It's just amazing. This is the Frosted Gelding that I think this was his first stake win, right? Yeah, it was. First stake win for Macron. So there you go. All right. We got a little bit more recapping to do tomorrow, and we'll get some other successful connections. Hoping to talk to Frank Lucarelli, who won his 2,000th race as a trainer yesterday. Congratulations to Frank. And my tendency is to say one of the great trainers of the Pacific Northwest, but doesn't need the Pacific Northwest as a qualifier. One of the great horsemen of his generation, Frank Lucarelli. Congratulations. So there you go. Busy Monday as we get started with this big week. Colonial minutes away from starting with a couple of jump races. Thanks to Jill Byrne and Jessica Paquette and Bill Gallo too. Mig earlier with a fun half hour. And Kenny McPeak, who had a fabulous weekend. All right. Summer's here, and there's going to be action wall-to-wall. Good luck if you're playing today. I'll have Gus's analysis up at the website in a little bit. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9, if you missed anything. And back with you tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, as we start, I guess officially, the second half of the year. And the show technically starts its 16th season with my name on it. So thanks to the network for hosting us another year. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Good luck.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slow Down Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.